ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to James chapter 5 as we continue our study through the Word of God. And we're going to finish up this very challenging book. And as we open up, James is going to deal with the unsaved rich, and they may have been religious, but their God was their riches, really. And because James is speaking of those whose money was their God, those who were living like this life was all there is, and there's no life beyond the grave, to these he has some really pretty strong words of condemnation. He's not speaking to believers here, but obviously this can be applied to us as well. I think it's important we understand that. One writer said this. He said, "He speaks to them not simply as rich, for riches and grace sometimes may go together, but as wicked, not only wallowing in wealth, but abusing it to pride, luxury, oppression, and cruelty." Yeah. You know, it's kind of a tough section when you read it. And again, I think for us, you know, the lifestyles of the rich and famous, how many people go after that? You know, you look at some of these people that have won the lottery, and they think, boy, if I could just win the lottery, everything will be well, and their lives fall apart after they win. God gives us what we need. I don't worry about that, and I think we need to understand that. We'll deal with a little bit of that tonight. And again, money and riches are not evil, but remember, Paul said that the love of money is evil. Money is nothing. It's paper. It's, you know, coins, whatever. But the love of money is evil because it causes you to do all kinds of things to attain it or maintain it, and we need to be careful. Now, Jesus made a powerful point in Matthew 16:26. He said, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" And that's kind of something that we should think about. I mean, really, the mindset of Americans many times is more, 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 more. But what if you had everything and you're going to spend eternity in hell? Have you won anything? No, you've lost everything. You know, think about all the riches we have for what? 60, 70, 80 years, maybe even a little longer. But once you die apart from Christ, you have nothing. And that's really the issue. And yet, look at what people try to gain today. You know, in 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 10, Paul talks about contentment and not being content. And it's interesting. Listen to what he says. "Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." And that just makes sense. Are we content with what we have? Because if we're not content with what we have, we're always going to be going after other things, either riches, or this job, or this person, or this house, or this car. Why? Because we're never content. It's always something bigger and better. I mean, think about it. You get the latest, greatest phone, and what happens? A month later, a new one comes out. And the one you had that was so great, it had all the gadgets on it, now there's something new. And it's never enough. But in Christ, we have enough. Paul goes on to say in that section, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." And again, the contrast is interesting. Can we be content in what God has given to us? Because again, if we are not, we can allow riches, even as Christians, to cause us to do things to obtain them that are not necessarily correct. And it's dangerous. Paul said some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Yeah. Now, In saying all that, that's really not the complete focus of this chapter. The real focus here in James chapter 5 is the believer in the second coming. And I find that how appropriate that is for this day, right? I mean, where are our eyes focused upon? Everything that's going on in Washington, everything that's going on in the United Nations, everything that's going on in the church, are our eyes focused upon the Lord, the blessed hope, the coming of Jesus? See, it changes everything. And I'm not saying that's our great escape card, because there's going to be tribulation in this world, guys. We think, man, Lord, it's getting bad, just take us out now. No, you know, our mission is to bring the gospel to the lost world. And when things fall apart in this world, guess where the hope's going to be? In Jesus. And if you don't have that hope in your life, how are you going to give it to others? You see, am I sad about what's going on in our nation? I'm absolutely grieved by it, because I see it as a move towards more immorality and wickedness. But I am overjoyed at what the Lord's going to do through it all. Because I don't see the Lord up in heaven biting his fingernails. Oh my gosh, did you see what happened in Washington yesterday? Oh my gosh, I can't. No. I got this under control. And so I could rest in him. I'm excited. I don't know about you. I'm excited. Lord, how are you going to use us? I know it's going to get tough. And a lot of the things that we're doing right now, in a year, 2 years, 5 years, we may not be free to do this. But God's word is never chained. It's never locked up, because it lives in us. So I think it's important that we focus on the Lord. In fact, we see that point in James 5:8 that we'll get to in a little bit here. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Hey, live accordingly. The Lord's coming back, right? Be ready. I mean, that's what John said in 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Oh man, I have this hope. The Lord's coming back, man. He's going to transform our lives. Instantaneously we'll be with him. But until then, there's work to be done. Jesus said, occupy until I come. Don't be fearful. Don't run away. I've kind of broken this chapter as we look at keep our eyes on the return of the Lord. In verses 1 through 6, just sharing in our possessions, sharing in our patience in verses 7 through 12, and sharing in our prayers in verses 13 through 20, all with the idea is, hey, the Lord's coming back. Let's magnify the Lord in us. Let people see Jesus in us, because he's coming soon. So let's pick up James chapter 5, starting in verse 1, and let's see what the Lord has for us this evening as we go through his word. James writes this. He says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. I guess James hasn't read the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, huh? I mean, think about what James said here. How many churches would say today, in the days we're living in, we want you, James, to speak at our church? Are you kidding? That's not seeker-sensitive, right? They would never like a message like that. These are hard things. Who gave James this message? The Holy Spirit. So is it something for us today? It absolutely is. This is important, and that's why he's sharing it with us. You know, the point is this. Don't depend on your wealth, your resources. Depend upon God and his resources. You know, it's the opposite of what the world believes. But the philosophy of the world has crept into the church. They want more and more and more. You got to depend on the Lord to be the strength of your life, the one who will supply your needs. And, you know, when we used to have conferences in the church, you know, when we used to go to them before all this lockdown stuff, now, one of the things people would always say is, how many people are in your church? just the right number. This is God's doing. This isn't mine. And I think that's important, because if not, you are going to manufacture ways to get people into the church. And that's a dangerous place to be. You know why? Because you left out the Holy Spirit and the work that he wants to do. He's got his timing, and he knows exactly what we need. And he takes care of it. Now, here in these verses we read, look at the condemning language against the ungodly rich. He's calling for them to weep and howl while they're on the earth, while they're still alive. That word weep means to wail loudly. Howl is just a lament, you know, shrieking and screaming. We see it played out in the Old Testament in Isaiah 13:6. Wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. And they were saying that this is what the ungodly will be like as God's judgment would be poured out upon them. And James is saying, hey man, you got to better deal with this now. There's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I guess we could paraphrase what James is saying like this, you know, to you rich and godless people, you need to weep and howl now because of what's coming for you. The judgment of God in hell someday. And so, you know, while there is still time, while you're alive on this earth, you have a time to repent and receive Christ. That's an important point. And James, I think, is speaking to most Americans today who don't know Christ. And for those that are poor, the same thing goes for them that don't know Christ, right? Because apart from Christ, there's judgment. And James talks about three different types of wealth, what people hoard instead of share. He speaks of the riches being corrupted, or really rotten fruit. It's speaking of their food and how they were hoarding it instead of sharing it. And as they just hoarded this, it got rotten. It spoiled. It was good for nothing. And, you know, you look at the food we waste in this country. You know, we had someone in the church a few years back that we were giving food to all the time, helping them out. They were getting food from people all over the place. And one of their relatives came over one night and said, hey, don't give them any more food. They just throw it in the back and it all rots and it spoils and we got to toss it. Wasting food. And that's what they're doing. They have all this. They're not giving it to anyone. They're not helping anyone, but it's all for them. And then James speaks of garments or clothes that are put in a closet. Why? Well, we can use them someday. You know, those 70s clothes with the bell-bottom jeans and the tie-dye shirts may come back. I think some of them did for a while. I don't know if they're still around today. But we hoard clothes in our closets. I don't know if my wife is listening tonight. I think she is. But I do what I call a purge in our house. And I go through the house and I purge the things we don't use and give them away because we don't use them. It drives my wife crazy. I usually do it when, I shouldn't tell her this, when she's out of the house. She's shopping or she's gone somewhere and I'm purging. And, you know, she won't know until, hey, where's that shirt? What shirt? Got caught, but, you know, I'm in trouble when I get home, so pray for me. And think about this. James speaks of gold and silver becoming corrupted, and it can speak of money and possessions that we hoard. You know, think about the, again, hoarding things, storing things up. We've got all these storage units. I mean, have you seen how many storage units are put up in Manitowoc alone, this little community? They're all over the place. What are they for? To store our stuff that we don't have room to store in our house because we've got other stuff in our house. My feeling is, and this is me personally, please don't get mad at me, but if I have no place in my house for it, I'm surely not going to pay for a storage unit to store it when I'm not going to use it. That's just me. Now, I know some people have businesses and stuff and store things, and that's fine. But a lot of people are just storing stuff. Crazy. You know, I think Jesus put it in the correct perspective for us in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So then how much is okay? Where do I draw the line? What's my cutoff point? I mean, that's between you and the Lord. I don't like playing that game, what's my cutoff point? Because that means I'm trying to go right to the edge. It's kind of like, how much sin is bad? Well, any sin is bad. Don't even go down that path. But if you're lacking wisdom on what you should do, what you should have, what did James tell us? If you lack wisdom, ask God. He's going to give liberally and without reproach. So ask him. And I think, you know, James is again speaking of religious churchgoers who have this form of godliness but deny its power. They're not saved. And they're going to be judged by God. And all that they've hoarded in this life, all that they've taken in, is going to be a witness against them. It's going to rot away. The moss will eat it. It's going to rust away. All they put their faith in is going to be lost. You know, think about it. How much stuff are you going to take with you when you die? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Where is our treasure at? Because where our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be. And I think, again, that's really important. We can hoard things in this life, but what a waste. Or we can use our resources to build up the kingdom of God. We can kind of send it on ahead, the rewards that we'll get. To see people come into the kingdom of God is the greatest treasure in the world. Well, look at verse 4. It said, indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. So these are the injustices that the rich perpetrate upon the poor, how they take advantage of them because the poor have no power. They have no influence. In verse 4, James is speaking of stealing their wages. Think, well, what does that mean? How were they stealing the wages of the poor? Well, keep in mind, there were the rich and there was the poor. There's no like middle class back then. And the poor depended on the rich not only to hire them, but to pay them, obviously. And at the end of the day was the common practice that they would get paid. But the rich were taking advantage of the poor here. They weren't paying them at the end of the day. And they should have known better because the scriptures were very clear on this. They were not to hold back wages from someone who has worked for you. In fact, Leviticus 19:13 says, you shall not cheat your neighbor nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. And notice who's watching what they're doing. The cries of the reapers, those who are doing this work, have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. And that's a phrase that speaks of the Lord of hosts or the Lord of armies. It's describing God as commander in chief of the heavenly armies. And he's watching out and seeing what's going on, how the poor are being taken advantage. And again, nothing gets past the Lord, nothing at all. You know, it's a serious warning to those who are taking advantage of others, holding back their due pay. I mean, I just got, you know, the church's PayPal account got hacked and someone in Florida ordered pants. I'm like, oh, you know, come on. And I tried to email the company and say, hey, please don't send it to them. Just hold off. They couldn't do it. And PayPal took care of it. But how do they sleep at night knowing that they are taking advantage of people? You know, I can't tell you how many calls I get saying my Social Security number has been, taken, and I need to call them right away. And it's just a group of people that are trying to take advantage, get your Social Security number so they can use it. How do you sleep at night? But they do, taking advantage of people. Well, in James 5:5, then, he speaks of extravagant living. And again, Americans spend lots of money on extravagant living, and in the end, they don't get a whole lot in return. I'll give you one example. This blew me away, because when I got married, oh my gosh, you know, when I look at what it costs today, forget about it, you know, I'll elope, really. The average cost of an American wedding in 2020 was $33,900. $33,900. It's a little better if you live in Wisconsin. It's only $27,800. What? I mean, that's a down payment on a house. I didn't even have that much money for a down payment on a house. It would have been awesome to have that. But that kind of money. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have weddings, but that's crazy. And what James is saying is this is the focus of your life. That's all you have in mind, the next pleasure, the next luxury, you know, the next this and the next that. You know, I watch some of these home repair shows. They buy these houses and they want them fixed up. And they show, oh, here's the kitchen. It's got these marble countertops and stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're going to tear that up, destroy that, put something else in? It's beautiful. It's incredible the money that people spend. And they're not prepared for eternity, but they're prepared to live forever on this in this life. How many people live forever? No one does. Well, I guess we kind of do. As Christians, we go to be with the Lord. Those that don't know the Lord, they live on forever apart from Him. They're not talking about living apart from God. They're talking about the here and now. And you don't live forever. And sadly, the last point in verse 6 is injustices. These injustices that were perpetrated upon the poor as the rich are taking advantage of them. Why? Because the poor have no power. They have no influence over people. The rich do. They take advantage of the poor in regard to their wages, as we saw. They didn't pay them at the end of the day like they were supposed to. And the poor counted on this to provide for their families. You know, the word condemned here in James 5, 6 in the Greek means to pass sentence upon. In other words, the poor man could not win in a court case. Why? Because the cards are stacked against him. That's the problem. Imagine the poor man going to court. He has the evidence that his boss, this rich man, had not paid him, and he loses the court case because the rich man paid the judge off. That's what they're talking about. In fact, sometimes the poor man was accused of wrongdoing. And when James says that you have murdered the unjust, maybe it's because they have no wages and they're starving to death. Could be. And I think James makes the point very clear because he calls this poor man who was taken advantage of as being just or innocent of any wrongdoing. And yet he's railroaded by his wicked employer and this unjust judge. And there's no recourse. That's what James says. He does not resist you. He can't. And often those who are poor and without power in this world have little satisfaction from justice. And yet God does hear their cries, and He's the one who guarantees to ultimately right every wrong and answer every injustice. Now, let me say this also. Just because a person is rich doesn't mean that they're evil, but there's a stronger propensity towards evil for them. The rich try to gain their wealth unjustly. They spend it to fulfill their lustful desires. They acquire it ruthlessly, and there's coming judgment for them. But keep in mind, Jesus had rich friends who did follow after Him, right? Joseph of Arimathea, Zacchaeus. But riches do present a problem many times. They get in the way of some coming to the Lord, as the rich young ruler. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow Me. And he walked away. Why? Because his riches were more important than following Jesus. And as Christians, we need to be careful and not lose our perspective in regard to wealth, possessions, because we can. Learn the lessons. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Make that a priority in your life, and God will take care of you. And again, the thought here, the focus here, sharing in our possessions. Don't do like they're doing, but share in your possessions. Look at verse 7 here in James chapter 5. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. The focus here is sharing in our patience. Think about all we've seen this past year, right? All the injustice that not only goes on in our nation, but throughout this world. It's easy to lose hope. It's easy to be impatient. But for these persecuted believers who were enduring hardships because they love the Lord, James is saying, you know, guys, hang in there. The Lord's coming back. Don't lose that focus. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:58 said, "Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil, your labor, is not in vain in the Lord." You know, we look at this world, how can I make a difference? I'm one person, or we're a small church, or, you know, look at our nation and where it's going. You left out one person, God.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.